This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Rich owners. A young, progressive manager. Enough backroom staff to fill an entire stand. But another early cup exit. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Good evening, everybody. Hope you're all okay. Thanks for joining us on the Blue Monday podcast, discussing Ipswich Town up or down and through numerous cup runs since 2015. I'm Craig Fimbo. Tonight's designated herder of cats, and joining me are two of Suffolk's finest. Firstly, normally a keen judge of whether or not to attend midweek cup matches, David Diamond. How are you, Dave?
Good day, Craig. Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm usually quite a good judge of that, but sadly failed last night.
Yeah, as did we all. And secondly, without going full Alan Partridge here, our equivalent of Norfolk's youngest butcher, the owner of one of Suffolk's oldest surnames, Mr. Joe Fares. How are you?
Yep, still fair, still beautiful.
Yeah. So you're not in our club now, Dave. I have to sort of admit that Joe sent me a link the other day from the East Anglia. There was an article about Suffolk's oldest surnames. And,
Two of the three of us.
So was Finbo.
Really? Finbo, yeah. I knew some Finbos. I used to play football against them. I think they lived out Hawley way, I think. But yeah, well, mine certainly won't. Mine comes from Cornwall, I believe. So much so that back in the day when you used to get phone books, so this might predate you. Actually, what am I talking about? Predate both of you. I remember my father telling me this. I said, yeah, that's rubbish. And he used to look for the Ipswich phone book, and it was when I lived at home, so it was my parents and maybe my uncle were in there. That was it. And he'd go down to Cornwall, pick up a phone book, and that's like Smith down there, mate. That's like Fares and Finbo.
got the entire D to themselves, did they?
Oh, loads of them, mate. So, yeah, that's where it originated in Cornwall.
Pretty sounds a bit rude, that, doesn't it? Well, anyway, yes, good evening, everybody. As ever, the floor is yours. Thanks for those who have already joined us. Please give us a shout. If you just want to say hello, if you want to ask a question, stick a comment in. I'll try to get to as many as I possibly can. But good evening to Lee. Good evening to Charlie. You were on before we'd even started. While Dave was still trying to get his microphone to work, you guys were on. Hello to Jim. Good evening. From Northamptonshire. We're getting as far as Northamptonshire. If we can get down to where Dave's surname comes from, we'll be doing well tonight.
Oh, you will.
So give us a shout if you want to go across anything in particular. Obviously, there are two predominant pieces of news this week, one a match and one a signing. So we'll go through those with the guys. All three of us were there yesterday evening, so it seems as good a place as any to start. Colchester, 10 changes. Now they come rolling in. I think they made a few changes themselves, didn't they? But 10 changes to the team, which won at, some people call it Forest Green, some people call it Fleetwood at the weekend. Only Burgess survived. Dave, do you want to go through the rest of the changes and any surprises there for you?
I think we pretty much called it, didn't we, Joe, on the pod on Sunday?
Weren't far off, were we?
We weren't far away, were we? We thought maybe one or two more experienced players might play. Obviously, Wolfenden came back in. He was absent on Saturday. You say Burgess. Burgess took his place. I think we were all hoping for Kyle Edwards and Rakeem Harper, more of him.
Player of the year, Rakeem. Can we please remember to insert that before we...
POTY, open brackets, close brackets. looking forward to seeing John Jules and perhaps John Jules up there with Jackson. And, yeah, you know, seeing the team on paper look... Well, not just on paper, but seeing the team look very, very good and very, very competent, as we thought it would be, you know. We said on Sunday, well, look, we're going to put out a team that's going to give most teams in League One a run for their money, let alone a lowly team in League Two. So, I was quite pleased with the lineup for sure.
And it started off relatively okay, didn't it, Joe? You know, we took a little while to get into the swing of things, as you expect with so many changes. But you know, we soon started getting our foot on the ball and playing it around.
Yes, a couple of decent chances, wasn't there? Mm-hmm. Like Luke Wolfenden picking out Greg Lee. And Greg Lee, that was the second time he'd got in behind, hadn't he?
Great play.
Did well there. Keeper made a good save. Then, obviously, the big chance was Cameron Humphreys, where he sort of pulled back to him on the penalty spot and he manages to not get over the ball and sort of fire it over the bar. But we sort of they couldn't get out of their half, could they, at all up until that point? They were sort of playing quite deep and just it was just aimless passes sort of somewhere near Frank Newblay to try and sort of get him on the ball, but just nothing. And we were just wave after wave after wave until sort of disaster strikes.
Yeah. Well, I say Humphreys had played a couple of nice balls, only inside their fullback as well. He was starting to get on the ball.
Yeah,
a bit
one
more,
of those was to Lee, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
he did start well. I mean, it's just the first chance you should score. You can't miss those. You should score that. All right, he's a kid and stuff, but you've got to go almost cold there, haven't you? And not pick your spot, but you've got to hit the target with the first one. The second one that I think Edward zipped across from a very similar position, you can sort of allow that one. It came across him, didn't it? And he tried to side foot it in with his left foot, and it's easy just to not make good contact with that. But yeah, the first one, and you think at the time I was sitting with Rich, and he sort of said, "Well, are we going to rue that?" But we had so much possession, we're so much on top. You think, "Oh no, it'll come. You know, one will come, and it'll be two or three." We look so comfortable, and then, as you said, disaster.
Yeah, which one of you two wants to cover this lackadaisical play?
It happened in about 2 or 3 minutes before Harper had the ball. We'd had a quick free kick that we took from fullback, and he had the ball and he tried to loft it across to Burgess and just sort of hammered it, like sort of like 20 yards over his head, to the point that Burgess had to like sprint across to the touchline, just sort of take a touch to stop it dead, to keep it on the pitch, and then run back and get it. And it was like, oh, come on, you sort of need to be sharper than that, because that was really poor. And then, like I say, Harper, he just, well, there's no one really there, is it? He just rolls. It's a perfect through ball to Hammant. And he just can't really miss, can he? Unless he's going to hit Hladke with it. Hladke doesn't have a hope. It's just almost an open goal, really, isn't it? And we go behind and they celebrate vigorously, as to their fan base. And from that point on, they just sit deeper and deeper. And, well, we don't really break him through after that.
It's a weird one because he doesn't pass the ball. I thought up the end, I didn't really see quite what happened because I was right at the other end. But I thought, oh, he must have just passed that blind, you know, really just passed it, you know, almost passed it behind him. But he was like, the play was there. He was on the ball and he just a lazy pass, wasn't it? I mean, he could have knocked it sort of back slightly. I think it was Wolfenden that made a slight angle. He could have played it there, but he just... Well, as you say, just it's a perfect through ball. He just knocks it inside, perfectly weighted, and the guy doesn't have to do much. He just has to hit the target. Because Hladke's, not Hladke's fault at all. He's just flat. He's just left flat-footed, isn't he?
I was at the other end as well.
Weird goal.
I just assumed it was sort of like he'd rolled it to him about sort of 30-odd yards out, and he just sort of hammered it in and sort of bad pass there. But when you watch it back again, it's almost it's a on a penalty spot. As it just rolls it to him, isn't it? And
yeah.
And like I say, from that, Harper, he'd had that poor pass before that, which I'd said about, but he was playing okay at that point, but that just seemed to totally drain any confidence out of him. And
yeah, from that point on,
he just was sluggish, slow on the ball, some really simple passes into the middle, getting caught on the ball by Chilvers a couple of times, wasn't he? And it just, just sucked the life out of him.
He broke up play a couple of times in the second half, made a couple of really good challenges. He was sitting perhaps a little bit deeper then, but yeah, you're right. It just knocked all confidence out of him. And he just, I don't know, I watch him, John Craig, and he just, I know he's got that style, that sort of languid, loose, sort of loping style. I mean, that's just how his physique sort of thing. But he just never looks fit. He just doesn't, he always looks like he's limping or carrying that. He's an odd one, a real conundrum, because as Craig said, I know we laughed about Craig said last year, but he looks like he should be a good player. He really does, doesn't he? But
Without making it the Rakeem Harper show, it's now what position would you play him in our team? Because he's not that deep. Because it does seem we're more playing sort of four at the back, doesn't it, than three at the back.
Yeah,
at the moment.
He doesn't
and,
see it
and he was really sort of dropping deep into the back too. And I just I don't know. I don't think he can play that deeper line role. I don't think he moves the ball fast enough, and I don't think he's reads the game well enough defensively, and I don't think he's combative enough in there. Is he the more forward role? Somebody's trying to get on the end of things in the box, but he doesn't seem to have the energy to get up and down the pitch to bust it out. Like Sam Morsey did, and like I say, Cameron Humphreys, he missed two good chances last night, but he's the one busting the gut to get into the box, to get on those chances, and it's not an easy role. And I say, I was up with John Walk last night in the Bobby Robson suite, and it's like what you'd give for a player of that caliber running onto those chances. But he was really impressed with Humphreys.
And I thought Humphreys did okay. And there's the difference, like I said, that chance, that first chance, point blank range, Johnny Ward. But I know you keep harping back to John Ward, but that's an example. He just goes cold and finds a corner where he, you could see him rushing. He was too eager, but you were right, he got in a great position. Ironically, the position, very similar to position to, Morsey hit the target, and the Morsey miss against MK, probably exactly the same position, probably. So he was getting there. Ironically, I thought, Joe, you're right, he was one of our better players last night. You look at the game as a whole, and he's so important to the team. Morsey plays last night, we probably win the game, don't we?
Sound like Paul Cook there, mate. If Sam Morsey, you don't get those sort of Sam Morsey in the team.
But he's free, though.
Just a quick one. Just say hello to everyone here. Look, there's people flooding in. Hello to Dan. Hey to Hughesy. We've got Skip as well. Skip's joined us. Some of the Telegram mob are here.
A lot of Telegram mob,
they're all rolling in.
Romeo's
Telegram mob.
Joined us as well. Paul's joined us as well. Crikey. All right, here we go. There's one for everyone to have a look at. What's the most unusual place anyone has heard a post or Q&A? He's currently 250 feet under the English Channel. Doesn't give any reason as to why he's 250. Right. Maybe the ferry's in trouble.
I hope he's not coming across in those dinghies. It's a new dinghy.
If he has, and he's 200 feet below, he's not been successful.
People trafficking under the waves.
Might be laying cables. Could be doing anything. Oh, that's the point. No,
I'd imagine he's probably more likely on the Channel Tunnel, but
probably is, isn't he?
We'll see.
Fair play. Yeah, that's a good
shout. Eurostar or Channel Tunnel. I'm on the Eurotunnel myself next week, so he can give me an update.
The channel, wasn't it? It was the channel. That's right. Yeah.
Hey to Eric, how are you? Ashley as well. Welcome, Ashley. Mark, one of our newest Telegram recruits, has joined us as well. Sean, another one of our very regular posters on Telegram. And Chris is here. And another Chris Rand's joined us as well. Flim Flam, how are you? Good to see you. There's plenty of people here. Just going back to the match yesterday, we won't dwell on it too much, but we have to really for a little bit. It'd be interesting to see what the effect is on the performances yesterday on the subs bench for Saturday, really. Whether you see Harper disappearing from that bench and El Mazzuni or Humphreys appearing, because I thought El Mazzuni did more, certainly from, as you were saying, about energy perspective and energetic perspective. I thought he looked quite lively, even in that 20 minutes he came on. I know we were pretty desperate at the time to get something out of the game, weren't we?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you thought the same, Joe, but I thought Edwards did okay. Their fullback, I think a bit of a shout for him, the left back. I think I'm right in saying it's his first game.
he was very impressive, very good. I mean, Edwards was trying all his tricks and didn't really get past him that much at all. And even when Burns came on, all right, Burns hasn't been in the perhaps the richest vein of form so far this season, but he certainly didn't get past him either. And someone pointed out, I think on the Telegram group, that in the latter stages, Edwards had more joy playing left side against the right back, where he did get to the line and got a couple of crosses in, one I think for Chaplin's overhead kick and stuff. But it was good to see Edwards play 90 minutes, and I thought he did okay.
Yeah. I think a few people did okay, it's when you make 10 changes. I'm personally not massively anti rotation. I think it's something that if you've got a big squad, you need to effectively, because you've got to keep these people happy. But the problem last night, I sort of post about it in the group, is someone like Caden Jackson, for example, who's done well when he's come on in both league games so far.
Not his game.
And he's a player that gives you options, and I think he'll be a very effective player for us at times this season. But he's sort of earned himself a start. But then we're playing against a team who are happy to put 10 men behind the ball, and that is just not Caden Jackson's game. And it's almost treating it as a pre-season friendly where you just need to give some players their minutes and you don't really give a toss about the way the team is set up, if that makes sense. And it felt like that last... And I think you could almost say the same for Rakeem Harper there, because I don't think that is his role, a deep line midfielder. And Caden Jackson's not a striker in a game like that. But they both needed the game because they've been on the bench, so they deserve the game. And you end up with a team that isn't really sort of sufficient for the opposition.
Yeah, well, saying there is that, you know, if you put everyone in the team, throw everyone in the team together as a complete second 11, you're not giving anyone much of a chance to show their worth, because they're playing alongside Lee Evans, for example, or Morsey, for example, or playing with the regular two number 10s, for example. I think it's a double-edged sword, I suppose, in that respect.
I mean, I know they both didn't get the service last night. Jackson was a little bit disappointed with John Jules. I mean, you should perhaps mention his chance as well, because that was a pretty decent chance. You know, when I think the keeper dropped the corner. Again, looking at it back, again, from where we were, it looked like it was at a far tighter angle. But, you know, looking at it again on the on sort of YouTube on the highlights, he's got to hit the target there. Really, it's about 6-7 yards out. And he was a bit disappointing, didn't you think, last night?
It was similar to a chance Ladapo had against Forest Green, wasn't it? Where they're sort of coming in on that left-hand side and just blazing it miles over and wide.
Yeah, you do wonder about the finishing sometimes.
The thing is, TC as well, back.
I don't know if you guys were similar, but you sort of knew in the second half, this isn't going to end well. Even before the second half had started, you thought, it's going to be more huff and puff. And as Joe said, they'll be deeper and deeper and deeper, and there'll be less space for Jackson to run into. It'll be more condensed for Aluko to try and slip a ball through. It's just not going to happen. You see it 45
played
minutes
in their
out.
Hands. I mean, Luke Chambers, that game, you must have dreamt about that game. It just worked out perfectly for him, didn't it? He was just at the back, marshalling his troops, marshalling the defence, really encouraging, which is good to see, actually, really encouraging the young fullback right from the off. Really encouraging him. It was just meat and drink to them, really, wasn't it? And in the end, it just all got a bit aimless, didn't it? They were hitting balls, straight balls, rather than trying to get to the line and get, you know, crosses in or diagonal balls. They even started to hit straight balls, and they're just going to eat those up, aren't they?
Yeah, just seemed to get longer and longer, didn't they? Was anyone from the Cole Hughes point of view, apart from the left back, I thought everyone, even, you know, people I was walking back to my car with were pointing him out and saying, crikey.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I thought the right back did okay as well.
Yeah.
I thought the left back was excellent, but I thought the right back did okay as well. Yeah. I thought again, Skews did well in that role that he plays.
Neat and tidy, just kept that, you know, when they had possession, which wasn't much, he didn't really, as Skews did, as Skews does, he never really lost the ball, did he? Used it up.
Old Frank up front, he looks a sort of very different player to when he was here. He seems to put his game together a bit now, doesn't he? I'm not saying he's that, but he's
not as raw.
He's put himself together, hasn't he? And then I thought Chill was looked sharp when he got on the ball at times.
Half decent. Again, I think they had, obviously Sears, I think, was carrying an injury. So he certainly played the weekend. I think Judge started the weekend as well. I think Judge was rested.
Well, neither of them were on the bench, so I don't know whether they were rested or just had a little minor knock.
You have to see Harper playing people like that, but just a shame, you know. You now look forward to seeing Don Ball fit and playing, don't you?
Yeah.
See what he can offer.
Yeah. Now, just a quick, I've got to do this. So, because Charlie D has said he needs to get on Telegram. Well, yes, you do, Charlie D, actually. It's nice and easy to do. It's all the links are on our Blue Monday ITFC.co.uk website. You can join for a couple of weeks. I think, to be fair, guys, in the last 24 hours, it's sort of come into its own, isn't it? You know, apart from Rich's poll about who has the bluest eyes or something out of
Richard Keogh, it's gone absolutely bonkers.
Exactly. But I really thought, like, last night post-match and during the day today, there was like a really good discussion about creativity, and we'll come on to that in a sec. But I say I think a loss brought the best out of everyone in a horrible way. Right. Okay. So I'm gonna carry on looking through these questions.
Just quickly, Craig. Well, I thought I'd ask you anyway. Did you get on the train last night or not?
You must be joking, mate. I came in. Chantry Park, parked to the north, came in from the north and back out.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we can talk about that actually. They enjoyed, some of the KU fans enjoyed themselves a little bit more than others, didn't they? And they were. And it's been subsequently, that's it. They were ripping up seats. They were throwing them, trying to throw them onto the pitch, but ending up nearly decapitating some of their own fans in front of them. Obviously, they're throwing flares onto the pitch. They had a pitch invader, which nobody seems to want to take ownership of, when no one's entirely sure if he was a.
I thought he came out the Ipswich end, but I don't know.
I thought he did actually, but he was very well tackled when he tried to make his escape. he ran past the biggest guy in the lower cobble, didn't he?
Yeah. Not only was he tackled, he was actually tombstoned as well, I think, into the Portman Terrace, wasn't he?
Who'd have thought The Undertaker would have been watching the match from a centre spot restaurant before the game?
Oh, cold Steve Austin. Brilliant.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame he didn't stick the figure of four leg lock on him before pile driving his head into the Portman Terrace.
Well, I think it was again, you know, you're looking up at the stand, sitting opposite, and you look up and you see these stewards and you think, Christ, that's something I'd never do. Goodness me. Yeah. I mean, it's just... Yeah, not great. And
they produced a good atmosphere, though. They sort of sounded
no, they
right,
did. No, to be fair, they did.
It's a, it's a bit embarrassing, though, isn't it? When like they look to us as like a rival, and you couldn't give sort of less of a toss about culture in that respect as a rival. And they're there singing 1-0 in your cup final, and we support our local team as though. Most of Ipswich fans don't come from Ipswich.
Or have some of the oldest surnames from Suffolk, mate.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's funny you should say that because I think it was the last time we played KU at Layer Road. I've got a mate who was a KU season ticket, and he couldn't make it that day, and he gave me a season ticket. It was in the bar side. So I went undercover in the bar side. Oh, my good God. Yeah, I kept very quiet that day, I tell you.
Did we lose 2-0? Is that the last one? Did we
1-0 was us, didn't we? It was
2-0, then 1-0 the following year, wasn't it?
Oh, okay, that's what I'm thinking.
Beat us both,
strange, isn't it? Like, because I've gone and watched Colchester every now and again and have done for years and years, but it seems over the last few years, it's sort of the anti-Ipswich stuff has really ramped up over that time. And it's, I don't know, maybe they feel they're a bit closer to us. But then they signed all of our players and went there. And
I guess it all comes from the Burley thing still. I mean, okay, seeing a lot of those guys who you do saw on YouTube and stuff last night, obviously they were nowhere near born but when that all kicked off. But I think that was the instigator of it all over the Burley business. All those, 28 years ago.
It's funny once, because when I was at uni sort of down in Southampton, so sort of like 2004, Southampton had Colchester in the League Cup and an early round of the League Cup. So I was like, oh, well, I'll go down to the game. Went in the Colchester end there. They lost 3-2 because Dexter Blackstock scored a hat-trick, sort of a throwback name there. And I sort of came out of the ground, and then this guy sort of I half knew ended up having a sort of trying to have a go at me because he was a Wickham fan and Wickham hated Colchester. And I'm like, what?
Oh, Lambert.
Yeah, I said, Colchester hate us. I'm in the Colchester end, and they hated me all night because I was an Ipswich fan, and then I had a Wickham fan having a go at me because I've been in the Colchester end.
Lambert.
Martin O'Neill and Roy McDonough, that was.
Oh.
When they were both in the conference.
Of
I think,
course, yeah.
And KU's goalkeeper scored, didn't he, from a goal kick to win a game at Wickham. Scott Barrett, was that his name?
I think Scott Barrett, wasn't Roy McDonough the most sent off player?
Red card Roy.
Yeah. Apparently his book is quite worth reading, apparently.
Yeah. Close personal friend of Steve Wynn, of course, as well. Obviously. Just get that in, clang.
Yeah.
So in terms of last night, so we don't think, you know, obviously there's not going to be too many that displaced any of the first 11 for Saturday. But Greg Lee, I thought, had a half decent game, and I did see at least Davis seemed to be hobbling around a little bit around the dugout area. So I suppose there is a chance, although he did play 90 minutes last night. But any chance of any of the others?
Maybe enough for Humphreys to get on the bench. Edwards, I would think, Edwards had 90 minutes, didn't he? Don't know, but
maybe El Mazzouni moves away from the going out on loan to maybe swap him with Harper, and Harper's the one that goes out on loan, and El Mazzouni's the one that stays here. I think Humphreys and El Mazzouni probably had the best night. Sort of because Harper was the one that was ahead in that queue, and I don't think he's going to be heading the pecking order after that.
No.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Wow. Well, as Ian said here, you know, if we score first, it's a totally different game. But, you know, yes, it would have been. Unfortunately for us, the longer it stays either a draw or a loss, it just puts more and more pressure on it, and appreciate we came from behind in the first game of the season, but it's something that we need to work out pretty quickly how to get around it, isn't it?
And I think, to be fair, other than those two clear-cut chances for, well, I suppose what you call Lee, he created that himself, really, with a good bit of skill in the box, with the keeper saved well, two clear-cut chances for Humphreys, and I guess the one for John Jules, where it's, yeah, but you perhaps should get that on target. We didn't really create a lot, did we? The keeper didn't really have that much to do at all, did he?
No, isn't it? And I know that is one of Skip's bugbears on the Telegram is our creativity and concerns about our clear cut chance creation. So we're saying, funnily enough, I'm going to put something up on the screen. I've come prepared. So this is the first, I'm going to cover your faces here, gents. Apologies if you're listening, but I'll make it quick. Oh, no, it does look. It comes at the side. So these are our first three games, and these are our XG for those first three games. And you know, despite having the majority of possession, the vast majority of possession in two of those games, and also the vast majority of shots in all of those games, our XG is actually lower than the opposition in two of them. So, you know, the RXG is, and I appreciate, you know, we can't rule everything by XG. For example, Cole Yu last night won a game 1-0 with barely anything, you know, but it does sort of give an indication of how busy you are. And
well, you're creating a lot of low quality chances, aren't we? It seems.
Yeah. Well, you are, yeah. Because, you know, if you look at the Forest Green game, for example, 22 shots and your XG is still below one, isn't it? You've got a lot of low-quality shots to edge yourself up to less than 0.9 XG, haven't you? So,
I think it is. It does seem that we are sort of missing that last little bit, isn't it? We seem to have... we seem to have a few bits going on, but it's not quite enough in that final third. And it's like, how much of that is down to a striker being in there, or how much is it? Because it really is like, when you see the chances that Humphreys had, when you see the chances that Morsey's had this season, it is that central midfielder arriving late in the box is our sort of the player set up to score the goals, isn't it?
None of our strikers are getting in those positions to miss the chances, are they? I mean, last night, for me, it almost cried out, and it was good because they were sitting so deep to have a real lump on the bench.
Or just
to literally sort of bring him on and play off him. Just get the ball. You're not going to get around him. We just weren't playing well enough, perhaps. Just get the ball up to him and play off him.
But there's nothing in our game plan that allows for any sort of chaos, is there? No. It's all so meticulously planned to the nth degree and analysed till it's...
This is League One, chaps. That's just not totally going to get you out of that league, is it? It's just not.
Yeah. I remember something that Alex Matthews said previously. It may not have just been on in relation to McKenna, but it was certainly in relation to one of McKenna's performances. He just said he would hate to be a striker in this team because they just get so few chances. To prove their worth. You know, they are still pretty isolated when you look at it in isolation.
Yeah, I think maybe we sort of might be overplaying it a little bit, but we do create. Like, if you look at the Bolton game, we had enough chances there. I think last night was just a sort of a bit of an aberration after we went behind that we didn't have the sort
nous.
Of yeah. the nous and the quality on the pitch. Like I say, when I look at the team, and I think you can sort of look at sort of the five players who you think are sort of top, well, championship quality. I think we've probably got four or five players like that. And then you've got four or five players that are very, very good League One players. And then the next five are decent League One players. And that. And I think when you get out the first sort of 15, 16 players in your squad, and when you're not, I know Wolfenden played last night, and he's one I'd say is in there, but when you've not got George Edmondson in the team, when you've not got Sam Morsey in the team, when you've not got Christian Walton in the team, it makes a big difference. And then below that, when you've not got Connor Chaplin, when you've not got Wes Burns, when you've not got Marcus Harness in the team, I think you're just not going to win games without your sort of best players, are you? You've got 10 top end players in that squad, and only one of them played last night.
It just sort of cemented those that are on the fringes of the first 11. The Jackson, John Jules, Aluko, it just cemented their current position in the squad, didn't it? They are, as Joe said, copyright Joe Fairs, they're finishers, aren't they? And which showed Bry starting the match and being pretty ineffective for the thick end of 90 minutes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a chance this weekend to increase, though, that XG against Milton Keynes, of which Seb and Rich will be talking about later this week, out on Friday, I believe, the pre-match show, including predictions. No doubt Rich is still top of the league. I haven't checked this week's results as yet, but he'll be sure to let us know. So, yeah, keep your eyes and ears out for that. It's on its way. Right, I think we've done Cole U to death, haven't we? Let's move on to a little bit of better news. A new signing sort of came out of the blue yesterday. It reared its head early yesterday morning. And then by the post-match interview with Kieran McKenna, he all but pretty much admitted that it was a done deal. And then it was confirmed today, even though that the interview with the player had been done yesterday before the match. Richard Keogh's joined previously of this parish, albeit when he was about 10 years old. The thick end of 700 appearances, 26 Republic of Ireland caps. Is he grizzled or is he gnarled, Dave?
I'm going to say it. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? He is a bit of both. He's certainly a bit of both, isn't he?
Set it up. Look at that. That was a routine half assist. That was.
It was like a full toss on leg stump. Just whipped it over. Yeah, I mean, certainly came out of a left field, as it were, but very, very experienced. I didn't realise just how many games he played for Blackpool last year in the Championship. Approaching 30 games in the Championship. And if you, read their comments on Twitter, etc., I think they were genuinely sorry to see him go. So he's certainly got a pedigree, as you said, played, what, 700 sort of competitive games, probably getting towards 400 for Derby alone, was their player of the year three or four times, Republic of Ireland player, certainly experienced. Yeah, and I see it as a positive. I'm saying kind of as positive signing, but yeah, certainly someone that could fit into the squad and bring a great deal of experience. There's not a huge amount of experience in the squad, especially perhaps around the back four as well. So certainly someone that can add experience to the squad. I mean, I don't see him being heaven forbid, but you don't see him at this stage being a regular starter. But yeah, when I first heard yesterday, what the hell is that? But then when you sort of sit down and think about it. Yeah, I guess useful acquisition for a year.
And it's yeah, exactly as you say. And there's a few questions coming in here from Charlie asking if he'll play at the weekend. There was one from Paul a little earlier about what is now going to be our first choice back four. Another one here from Mark about Keogh eventually displace Danasian. Joe, where do you see him long term, short term, in the short to medium? Medium to long term, where do you see him fitting in?
It's difficult, isn't it, when you look at the sort of, because you think the natural role for him is sort of central of a three. If we are playing that, that's sort of a role he played a lot at Derby and at Milton Keynes. But it seems we are really going more down the route of four at the back, aren't we? Like last night, I think the last game, Danasian is playing as a right back, not as a right-sided centre-back with Burns help now. It might still be a hybrid, but it is a back four. And I think that back four is going to be Danasian at right-back, Wolfenden, Edmondson and Davis. And Keogh's going to get games, but I think he is coming in as the probably first reserve. He's just it's a hell of an addition for that sort of player. I know there's sort of some off-field questions about him, but realistically, he's come back. He's played, I think he played 40 games the season before last between Milton Keynes and Huddersfield. He's played 30 games in the Championship last year. He's played more sort of Championship minutes than any outfield player in history. It's just serious levels of experience. I think anyone who's watched this interview will be sort of watch that with sort of a smile on their face when he's talking about being here as a kid, his granddad loving the club and feeling great that he's sort of finally back here to end his career potentially. And but he's not gonna lay down. If one of those centre backs isn't playing well, he's going to be straight in the team. And when you look at a player like that, he's somebody that plays week in, week out, has done for year upon year. He's a player that knows how to manage his body, keep himself fit, and then go from there.
Shades of one Tony Mowbray, what, 99-2000, really, I guess. I know he'd already signed by then, but...
He was a lot younger then, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was, I suppose, 30s, perhaps.
But then we've had a few of these type, and some of them you even forget. Obviously, we know, you know, Joe's shirt will tell us all about Mark Fish. We've got to hope that Joe won't be searching for the Richard Keogh match worn equivalent, because it's, you know, equally infamous in however many months' time. But even you think back to David Unsworth, we had in, didn't we? Matty Elliott, we had in, didn't we?
Well, I like Matt Elliott.
Yeah. He was a proper defender, similar sort of just proper defender when he shook us up for after.
He was right. I wouldn't call him grizzled. I'd call him rugged, Matt Elliott. Rugged defender, wasn't he? My God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who else did we have? James Collins was another, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stephen Taylor.
Well, Stephen Taylor, yeah, but they just couldn't get fit, could they?
Not quite so much, yeah.
Nah.
I saw him at the Brentham Ball, actually, once. He was doing one of these Q&As, Stephen Taylor and Paul Digby.
Diggers.
Were the guests of honour at that. Yeah, as you said here, yeah, look, Mark and Paul come up with that. Ashley, yeah, David Unsworth. Saw David Unsworth walk around Brighton in his slides before the Brighton away match in 2005 that we drew.
Shame that his loan didn't cover
1-1, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it didn't, did it?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so I think pretty much similar, really, Dave. A lot of people thought the same thing, thought, what the hell has this come from? You know, what are the reasons behind it? But then when you sort of talk about, you know, you heard about McKenna saying that it's a profile of player that they'd been trying to get in the door, you know, pretty much all the summer. And actually, I think Phil TWTD had said that it was a deal that they'd been trying, that specific deal was the one that they'd been trying to do for quite a long time. Then, yeah, it sort of does make sense, even if it is for only for a year, and then, you know, we'll see what happens at the end of it.
And you're right, yeah, as Joe said, his interview came across really, really well in his interview, and I think he's 36 tomorrow, is it? I believe his birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so, the
interesting one.
I guess the difference between the sort of likes of Unsworth and Mowbray and Matt Elliott when they came in, it was that we had a sort of immediate defensive issue that we needed solving ASAP, that they came in and hit the ground running, were able to help us, where this one doesn't feel like we need to get Richard Keogh in the team, do we? This is
a useful addition to the squad, isn't it?
Yeah. This is a bit harsh from A. Say that Edmondson, I'm assuming this is, doesn't get his act together. He could be under pressure. Is he?
Did he struggle on Saturday?
Edmondson's been really good.
Not get his act. Okay, yeah.
I think the season went wrong last year. Really, once Edmondson got injured, we stopped being able to hold on to Leeds.
I think what, he had that dodgy game at Bolton away, didn't he? Where he gave away the goal, and then he had a bit of a shaky period.
Sheffield Wednesday, did he get caught for the Sheffield Wednesday goal as well? I think that was Edmondson.
Yeah, he sort of tried to dribble it out, didn't he, on the left hand side?
Other than that, I thought he was magnificent last season.
I think he's an on pitch leader as well, isn't he? I think he's a player that drags everyone along with him.
I think he had some. I saw him have some superb games last season. Absolutely different level at times.
Cool. All right. Thanks for that, guys. If you want to get your predictions in, everyone, for the weekend, we will quickly go through that with the guys here. But obviously, as I say, Rich and Seb will go through it in much more detail before the weekend for everybody. Just a quick one here that Mark's put in about Ndarbha. Needs another year loan. He's 23, but he's only had 1 year of competitive man's football and wasn't always picked a centre-half, which is probably the most salient point there, I'd have thought, is that if Ndarbha is to go out on loan, then we'll be looking to find him a team that's going to play him centre-half.
Yeah, and in League One, I think it was mentioned, there's a story on TWTD by Phil, and he mentions, I think, Fleetwood and one other team as a potential. Let me just look it up quickly while I keep talking. But yeah, Fleetwood and one other, and a Scottish team as well, Kilmarnock, I think it was.
Ndarbha.
Yeah, where are they? It was Burton, Fleetwood and Kilmarnock were the teams.
Bloody hell. I mean, it'd be nice to see him slot in somewhere in League One, wasn't it? Just to see how he does perform in that, you know, certainly step up from Salford last season.
I think I'll probably give him Burton a wide berth for a few weeks' time, just to see how things pan out there. Well, hopefully we'll be taking advantage of that, won't we? In a week's
Tuesday.
Six days' time, yeah, hopefully so. Cool. Well, there's a couple of little bits and pieces here. We've come from the initialised LG, hearing Hurst is a done deal. Can Joe confirm?
I want to know if there's going to be a Oasis reunion.
JG, Hurst all but done, apparently.
It'd be great news if it's true.
There are rumours and little bit exclusive here for you is
he's giving nothing away. He's looking very non-committal.
Yeah, well, if Joe can't give you an exclusive, I can give you an exclusive. I've been on holiday with his old man. I went in Falaraki 1993. David Hurst was cock of the walk in his bandana for that entire holiday. I didn't go on holiday.
You were with him, or he just happened to be in the same resort?
He happened to be in exactly the same place as I went to. So either the pay for a Premier League footballer back in 1993.
So 93 would have been his. That was him, wasn't he? Heyday,
he was in his
was
pomp,
it?
Yeah,
pomp. Just about.
I wonder if he still talks
about
the time
not to sign for Man U.
I wonder if he still talks about the time he saw Brightling Seas batsman Craig Finbow out in.
Yeah, with that common Suffolk name.
With my perm at the time, yeah, very possibly. Oh, you wouldn't recognise it. You wouldn't recognise me now.
I don't know anything about it. Personally, if we are to sign him, I expect it's one that will drag out through the window a little bit more. I don't think there's anything imminent, but that's not to say I know, because I don't know.
His club Leicester are all over the place at the moment, aren't they?
They haven't signed anyone this summer, have they? And I think they're at their full max sort of squad capacity, so they need to get rid of people to bring them in. But they want the players that they thought they're getting rid of, like Tielemans, and players they want to get rid of, as opposed to the ones they're getting interest in, like Fofana and Madison, is a different matter. So I think they're in a bit of a awkward place. But
yeah, there's a possible
he's not even
risk.
Given a squad number, though. He's going to be going out somewhere, whether it's on loan or permanent. It's just need to try and get it done. And like I said, he's still plan A, plan B, plan C, and hopefully we do get him over the line.
Well, let's hear from his From his perspective, he's going to be waiting for a championship club to come along and, you know, buy him.
But then if we can
ideally want him dropping two divisions, he wouldn't think.
But if we can give him a 3-year contract on the same money he's going to get in the championship, but also with a big bonus when you get up there, 50% pay rise when you get promoted, like most of them have, you might do it. But it's, like I say, he's got a short career. He might want to take what he can get, but hopefully we sign him because he is one that we've really focused on. I think he's one that would be a real good fit here.
I was speaking to a Pompey fan earlier today who was extolling the virtues of our Joe Piggott and playing in a sort of 10 role, and yeah, he quite likes him.
Yeah.
Scored last night as well. I didn't see the goal. I know he scored last night, I think.
Weren't a classic, but no, it's great to see him doing well.
Yeah.
There's obviously a player there, but he just did not fit at all what we wanted to do, did he?
Again, Joe, I think that was a confidence thing, though, wasn't it, as well? Yeah, he didn't really fit, but again, you know, confidence-wise, you could see it just draining away from him, couldn't you? You know, it was painful to watch sometimes, wasn't it? You know, the ball would be played up to him and it just wouldn't stick, and his first touch was awful.
And he'd be out-muscled.
Sorry for the guy. Yeah.
So hopefully he's doing some good. It's also a physicality thing as well, wasn't it? He just didn't seem to be strong enough, quick enough, urgent enough. That Oxford away game, Joe, we both went to, didn't we? And the difference between him there and Bond coming on whenever it was.
Oh, yeah. God, he was superb.
Was chalk and cheese, wasn't it, unfortunately. So, yeah, good luck to him. Hopefully you'll
either... Bond's getting some game time for QPR, isn't he?
Yeah. Did they play yesterday? I believe they lost.
It might be tonight. I don't know.
I think I saw they lost. Did they?
All the championship teams lost last night, didn't they?
I think QPR were one. I might have got that wrong. Probably, yeah.
Yeah, because there were rumours early in the day, weren't there, about Bishop. Yeah,
they lost Colby on penalty. Charlton.
Yeah, I thought they lost. Sorry, rumours about
Colby Bishop, wasn't there earlier today? I don't really think.
What, linked with who? Us.
Us, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Not Colby Bishop.
I was going to say, what
Cole Stockton.
Stockton, sorry.
Cole Stockton. Hang on, that's the old Fleetwood Forest Green there.
I don't think there's anything in the Stockton one. I think it's one that we sort of maybe he's on a list somewhere, but I don't think he's going to be someone that we're prioritising.
Yeah, does he fit the profile, really? I'd say probably not. As someone described, all right, he scored 20-odd goals last, different to Piggott, but it's, I'd say sort of similar type scenario there, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. Cool, okay. All right, thank you for that, guys. Appreciate that. I think we're sort of coming to the end of our quick chat about the comings and goings of this week. Obviously, if anything does happen in terms of any major signings between now and the weekend, I'm sure we'll be all over it. But as ever, keep your eyes peeled on our socials. As I said, BlueMondayITFC.co.uk for all those links. The pre-match show with Seb and Rich will be coming out before the weekend. If you want to buy a bit of Blue Monday merchandise, that's also linked on the website. I found this the other day. Can you see that? It's a bit of Ipswich Town tat. It was Sharm el Sheikh. Oh, well, I've been everywhere. Look, Sharm el Sheikh, Falaraki. It's one of those waiter things, you know, that they put your note in one side and flick it round and it comes out the other side, yeah?
Look at that.
Sharm el Sheikh with Tony DiRigo.
Yeah, so, you know. Been everywhere, but I was going to use that as a prop, but I never got around to using it. So yeah, and also the Telegram. I know we harp on about it, but I know I said about it earlier, but it really has come into its own. Hopefully, it won't need to come into its own very often this season because you know we won't be in too many more games.
I think we'll know if we've made a signing by the 580 messages on Telegram that suddenly pops up within 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. Okay, well, I think that's pretty much everything, guys. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks, everyone, for the questions and the comments. Dave and Joe, do you want to just give us, you know, in light of not being on the pre-match, just want to give us a brief thoughts about what you hope for the weekend and what you think is going to happen?
Massive just game, isn't it?
It is. An un-Ipswich like scrappy 1-0, 2-1, take anything, get the 3 points, as Joe said last weekend. That'll put in 7 points away above MK and move on to Burton, is it next?
Yeah,
Tuesday night.
So, crikey, come on. Yeah.
Yeah,
10 points after 10 points after four games would look pretty healthy, I'd say.
I think they'll be happy with a point, to be fair, won't they? If you've lost your first two and then you're away at Ipswich in your third game, I think you just want to end that run of defeats, don't you? So it might be that they're a little bit more
not as progressive inside
their shell, so to speak. But Liam Manning and Richard Keogh, former academy teammates in the under-16s at Ipswich. When you see the photo, Keogh tweeted today. So that'd be
Is Liam Manning on that one?
Yeah, he's one in the sort of front and centre holding
front
the ball.
Front and centre, yeah.
But no, so I think we can win. I think we can win all our home games. I don't see many teams being able to come here and stop us. So it's just making sure we keep pushing, create the chance, and hopefully Freddie Ladapo gets off the mark.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's going to be bloody hot, isn't it? Flim Flam just said, don't forget the sunscreen this weekend. But I saw posted somewhere that they think it'd be like 34, 35 degrees down at pitch level. So it's going to be a sweltering one, and both teams like to keep hold of the ball and let the other team run around, don't they?
Yeah, that's certainly going to be a 2-hour game. That must going to be a 5 o'clock finish, that one, isn't it? It's going to be water breaks all over the gaff.
Yeah. Water breaks, but a solid, what, 2-0? Got to have a clean sheet eventually, haven't we? We can't keep not scoring many goals and not keeping clean sheets.
I'll just take a scruffy one, an un-Ipswich scruffy one on Saturday, 3-pointer. But yeah, as we know, we don't generally tend to win games like that, do we?
Brilliant. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you very much for that, gents. Appreciate that. I just really enjoyed that. Nice little chat for us. As I say, thanks everyone for joining in the chat. Really, thanks a lot for your comments and your highs and your questions and bits and pieces like that. Come and join us at Telegram. Come and join Rich and Seb on the pre-match show before the weekend. And here's to a 1-0 David Diamond scrappy victory and 3 points.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.